Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Joining us in studio is Zonke Dikana. Zonke Dikana is a singer and musician who was born in Port Elizabeth and, following her love and talent for music, moved to Johannesburg. The sound of Zonke Dikana is soul, collectively classified as Afro-soul. Her musical influences include the likes of Busi Mushlongo and the late Miriam Makeba, with her all-time favorite artist being Brenda Fassie. Zonke has written many hit songs for artists such as Winnie Khumalo and Tsepo Tsola. Zonke has received a number of awards, which include the following: the South African Music Award for Best Live DVD 2014 for Give and Take Live, the SAMA Award for Best Traditional Album 2014 for Give and Take Live, the SAMA Award for Best Contemporary Album 2013 for Ina Ete, the Metro Award for Best Female in 2013, the Afro Music Video Award for Most Gifted Female 2013, and a Metro FM Award in 2004, as well as a Channel O Best Video Award in 2005. Welcome to the show.
Wow, what an intro. Thank you so much, Doctor. Thank you for having me.
Can you please share with us a few of the landmarks in your career?
Wow, there's been so many, many of which I never quite felt that I deserved. I've been blessed to obviously come from a very talented family. For me, my father was, I always say my dad was the best thing to ever happen to me, because if I didn't have a musical father, then I wouldn't be the kind of musician that I am. So that's the first milestone in my life, that my dad was my dad. And then secondly, the fact that I can just come from a small town and be able to write songs that resonate with a lot of people, that doesn't happen to just anyone. It's a blessing. It's not just something you wake up and you're like, oh, okay, I can write songs that people love so much. So to me, that's another blessing, that I can be able to write and people say, wow, how did you know this is how I felt? So there's been so many, Doctor. I don't even know where to begin. I feel very, very blessed.
Is there any that have left a mark on you the most?
Well, I've been in the industry for so many years, more than 10 years, more than 12 years actually. Straight out of school, came to Johannesburg to live with my dad, my father, who taught me everything that I know about music. But I would say my album, Ina Etem, which is my most celebrated album that I wrote, composed, produced myself.
So you did a full turnkey solution in that production.
Yes. I do everything by myself. And
so there's very rewarding experience when you've created something.
It really is. You know, I was blessed to be signed to a company. It was a one album deal, and I was signed to a company, and I said, I just want to be myself. And they allowed me that. I said I wanted to record in Cape Town because my father spent most of his life in Cape Town, and I felt closer to my dad, you know, during that time. I think that's what happened with this album. It was such a magical time that people listened to the album when it came out and they just fell in love with it. And the album went on to sell, you know, hundreds of thousands of units. And for the album to do that, and I'm the only one involved in that, to me, it scares me when I think about it, actually. I feel like I wasn't present. So I don't fully enjoy that memory, because I don't quite have that memory, because it's like I wasn't even there.
But you were involved in absolutely every dynamic.
That's the funny thing about it. I don't even remember writing the songs. That's the weird thing about it. And I've never said this, you know, to anyone in any interview, that I don't remember any of the songs that I write. It's like it wasn't me. I think it shows that something really, really does take over. And then I wake up when it's done, you know. It's like being on stage. I'm on stage, something happens, something takes over. And I snap back into life after each and every song or every couple of songs. And then when I watch it back, or people tell me, this is what you do on stage. So that's the beauty of music. It's magical. Yeah.
I think that's a wonderful way of describing it. As you'd mentioned, you come from an incredibly talented family, with your dad as being a strong influencer.
Yes.
And you're involved from music, fine art, story writing. Mm-hmm.
I find that music has always been a huge inspiration to people, and occasionally it's been exploited to pursue various political as well as social agendas around the world. Mm-hmm. What influences your songwriting, and is there a story behind every song that you write?
I would love to sit here and say, oh no, there's no stories, just songs. But I'd be lying to you. I'd be telling stories. Whether I like it or not, every time I pick up a pen or my phone to record my songs, it's just an idea. Every time I open my mouth, I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about something that has happened to me, my hopes and dreams, my daydreams. I'm talking about something, a story that my mom, you know, had told me at some point in my life, and I would interpret that. I think this is what my mom, you know, went through. You know, so some of the stories are my own, and some are my parents' stories. You know, maybe when you're young and your mom would say, oh, this is what happened to me. For instance, the song Nomanyange, which is a song I wrote for my mother, talks about a story that she used to tell us every now and then as children, that she had four girls, and my father's family were like, okay, no, something is wrong with this woman. You know, how can she only be having girls? We need an heir. We need someone who carry on the family name. So as a matter of fact, they saw that as something, you know, in the African culture, you know, people see that, okay, no, there's some kind of witchcraft involved here. This woman has been bewitched or some crazy thing like that, you know. And it really didn't sit well with my mother, who was a very educated woman, who was trying to tell this family of uneducated people, which is my father's side of the family,
Of who exactly determines the gender of
and
your child.
And she was a medical technologist. So that was her field, you know, that, oh, okay, fine, blood cells and red blood cells, that was her field. So she could at least attempt to say, no, it's not me who's responsible for that. It's your son. But they were not having it. So such stories, you know, my mom wasn't quite happy with my father's family because of those things. But also, she wasn't telling us those stories for us to dislike them or to try and get us away from them. She just wanted us to know that sometimes, you know, a girl child is viewed as this in the world instead of this. So that's just what she was trying to tell us.
But do you think by having four girls that that helped the way that you were brought up, because there were no boys, so you were all brought up as equals because you were the girls in the household?
Oh, you know, that's also another blessing in my life. As much as it's good to have brothers and sisters, you know, people who have brothers and sisters, you know, they're great. They say it's great. You know, you have an older brother or you have a younger brother. They still want to protect you. Or I didn't miss any of that, because you can't miss what you don't know. So with me, I had two older sisters. The oldest one was so boyish and such a bully that she protected all of us. She was very...
That's what tends to happen, is the elder looking after the youngest.
Exactly. You know, so she loved me to bits. You know, even when I was wrong, she would always hit my older sister. She was the eldest, and then my older sister, Lulu, she would always get it from my older sister, like, what have you done to the child? You know, give her this, give her the sweetie, whatever. So my sister protected me. So we never missed having a brother, and we became such very good friends. And also, like, coming back to your question, it really did mold me to the kind of person that I am, because I didn't feel the need to have friends outside, because we were all girls, we loved the same things, and most importantly, we loved music, all of us, which was such an amazing thing, because some, you know, when you have a big family, you know, so many kids, some could be interested, you know, it's normal for kids to be interested in different things.
Did you find that drew you closer together?
It really did. It really did. At first, it was the three of us, and we were known as Viva's trio, you know, before the youngest came.
Your dad was Viva?
Viva, yes.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
Like, oh, there's Viva's trio, you know, and my dad would have me on his back, have my sister Lulu strapped in front, and then have my eldest sister Busi, you know, on his arm, you know, and he's got a diaper bag, and he's taking us to my mom, wherever my mom would be, or our appointments for doctor's appointments, or school,
What a magical picture.
I know. I mean, I miss that so much. You know, it just, I get a lump in my throat when I get that picture. I wish I had that actual picture to put on my, on the wall or frame it and put it somewhere, because that's what I remember about my father. You know, and he was such a strong, handsome man that I was so convinced that there was a movie somewhere made about my father, because he was so heroic and he was so charming and so handsome that I thought that he was a movie star.
Well, perhaps it's there for the making.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe somebody will tell my story in a movie.
We'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Yvonne Chaka Chaka, the United Nations Goodwill Ambassador on Malaria in Africa. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program against racism, socio-economic class division, and gender-based violence.
You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kilohertz on the 31-meter band. Today, we're talking to singer and musician Zonke Dikana. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. Now, picking up on our discussion, this program is all about gender equality. Mm-hmm. And as such, building female leadership capacity is important for the future of women and to our country. Now, as a role model to so many South Africans, how do you see female leadership in South Africa?
I think, without sounding too political, this is just my view as a human being, I think we still have a long way to go in terms of balancing it out. We've got a lot of strong women in South Africa, but at the same time, I feel like we ourselves as women tend to undermine ourselves and always want to stay behind and say, oh, no, we're not ready yet, or maybe next time, or maybe I sense that, or I get the feeling that, or actually I see that we tend to create boundaries for ourselves. We're so used to creating these boundaries that are no longer there, that, okay, no, men are given opportunities and we're not. I think it's time to take now what's rightfully ours, because we've been taking care of things since the beginning of time. We've given birth to men. We've given birth to great leaders. How can we not be ready to lead ourselves? That's what I find a bit strange. And hence I'm saying now that we still are locked behind those walls, and sometimes we create these boundaries with our minds. And I feel they're no longer really there.
Mm. Yeah. So it's a case of the stereotypes that have been formed, and we are still maintaining and perpetuating
exactly
those stereotypes.
That's my point exactly, Doctor.
I agree. We have to break out.
Yes.
And we have to be able to influence young people to get that self-confidence,
yeah,
and belief in themselves.
Exactly. But then again, I can understand why, you know, most strong women or those who are willing to lead can still doubt themselves, because it's us women who still say to them, how dare you? Don't you know our place is here and here and here? I feel it's no longer really men who do that anymore. It's us doing it to ourselves.
I think that's a really interesting perspective. Mm. We need to remove those shadows,
exactly,
that are limiting us. Now, along the years of your musical career, you've become an inspiration to many youngsters who have grown up on your music, and as well as the lyrics that you've written for other artists. Can you please expand on your life as a musician and your decision to leave your studies of human resource management, mm-hmm, at the University of Bloemfontein to concentrate on your musical career?
Wow. My decision, it wasn't an easy decision. You know, I didn't wake up and decide, okay, you know what, school is not important. I just want to do music. And as we all know in South Africa, you don't need to be educated to be a musician. No, those were not my thoughts at all. Because I come from a family, my father wasn't an educated man, but he was very smart, and he found that from a young age that he wanted to become a musician. And my mother, on the other hand, extremely educated, medical technologist. She had put herself through school. She also didn't come from a rich family, but she knew the importance of education. So it was a mixture of education and talent or music, if I can put it like that. So my mom was not opposed to us going to school, being educated herself. At the same time, she loved the arts so much that she wanted us to have the best of both worlds. So I went to school to study human resources management. My sisters went on to study law at Fort Hare University. So halfway through,
I was so unhappy, really, because I've always known since I was 7 years old that I wanted to sing because it's all I knew around the house. Remember, I say it's all I knew around our house because my father's band used to come and rehearse there. And my father was our hero. So no matter what it is that my mom was doing, you know, we see her getting up and putting on her lab coat and going to work. It didn't really matter to us because we're looking at this hero of a father. So whatever it is that he did, that's what we were going to do. So, and then, yeah, I continued with school. And then I remember one day I said to my mom, "Mom, I need to talk to you." And she says to me, "What is it?" I said, "I need to go to my father in Joburg," because my dad was already living here. And she says, "Yeah, I had a feeling this was coming." So she says, "I knew, you know, this day would come where you want to do music or you want to go to your dad or whatever. I've sort of been like preparing for it, you know." So, I mean, she agreed and she said, "Okay, fine, I'll take you." We contacted my father and came to Johannesburg. And I said, "I want to do music. I want to study music further." But because my father at the time was not in a position to take me to school, he said, "You know what, I know you want to study music further, but you can sing. I know, I've heard you guys, I'm so proud of you, but I think you can sing, you can start working as a singer, maybe just learn, and then we'll take you to school later." But unfortunately for my dad, he never really got into a position to make that possible, you know. And I started enjoying working, you know, and recording songs and doing backings for different artists. So that's how I started.
It's almost an informal internship.
Yes.
Into the industry.
Yes, but at the same time, it wasn't easy to get in. It still was very, very tough. I found that I actually started thinking, maybe I can't sing. Why is it that I'm not getting a record deal? Why is it that nobody wants to record an album with me or even just a song? So I never got to record even one song for me to have a demo to take around, you know. So everything just stopped, boom. Imagine. So it was not easy at all.
And then coming through, doing the backing singing, having options, but always sort of in the background with other people. What was the breakthrough for you?
Well, I think the hitting a wall where I've got these two musician parents and it's not helping me to open doors. I think it was mainly because of my dad. He was so strict. My father knew that Johannesburg was not a place for a teenager. You know, there'll be times where I just want to, can I go here? Can I go there? Oh, they've called me for a session. Can I just go? And it would be a no. No, 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 until people forgot that I was there. Or wherever I would go, my father is there. You know, no, I just want to make sure, and I appreciate that so much looking back. At the time, he was this shadow. I was like, "Hey, this old man, what is he doing?" You know? But my dad, that's my dad. He's always been like that. He's like, "You're not going to come to Johannesburg and disappear here." So until my stepmom introduced me to a guy called Leon Erasmus. Leon is the one who took me under his wing and said, "Okay, fine, let me manage you. Let's try and put together a band." And I remember the first big gig that I did was the 7th All Africa Games, and I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that people were actually standing there paying attention to me. Who am I? I could not believe that. Oh, there's an audience. They're actually, you know,
applauding
me. And I was like, wow, I like it so much. So Leon, you know, offered to manage me full time, which I agreed because I had no other plan. And then we would also do jingles. I remember we did a jingle for one of the banks. And when I heard that on TV, I was like, oh my goodness, I've arrived. I thought everything was fine. I've arrived. Here I am. Album is coming out soon or something like that. People are going to know all about me and my voice. But still, it wasn't like that. So time went by, you know, where there was nothing happening. And then Leon calls me and says, "Hey, there was a German band here called Jazz Cantina from Germany. They're here on a cultural exchange. I'm going to go see them perform. If you can make it, come through. If you can't..." Of course, I couldn't go because my stepmom has been told by my dad that, you know, don't let these kids overpower you and ask you to go here and there. And calls me the following day, says, "Those guys are awesome. I told them about you. I took their details." And so I went to studio to see him. He says, "Okay, those guys have sent a track for you to record." I was like, wow, this is happening fast. What's going on here? You know? So he plays this song and he says, "Write to this. Let's record it and let's email it back and see what happens." So
I wrote a song called Africa, My Motherland. And we recorded it, and I remember this, everybody laughs at this story. I remember it had something like, which is just something that we used to do as kids. So the song started out like that, and then it talks about Africa, you know, how wonderful, you know, a place this is and all of that. And we sent it back. They absolutely loved it. They asked, okay, fine, what equipment are you using, because it's distorting. And he says, no, that's her language. Those are called clicks.
So, okay, so they thought that you'd added an element, but it was just your sound, your voice.
They thought it. Maybe I was saying maybe a T or a K or something, but it was distorting. Maybe we're using inferior equipment or something like that. And he says, no, that's from a language called Xhosa. It's actually a tribe here, and those are clicks. So, of course, Germans, blown away. Oh, my goodness. We've never heard of this language before, and she sounds great. So what amazed them was the fact that I could sound distorted, and then here I am, I'm singing in English, and I sound like I could be from anywhere in the world. And then, you know, they got in touch with Leon and said, we are coming to record this woman. She's amazing. We love her. 2-3 months later, they were in South Africa with a film crew following me around. We're busy recording at the former Mega Music, which is now Bassline. And we started recording songs. And then next thing I knew, a group called Culture Clan was born. And I had this all-white German band behind me with myself. And I brought in two rappers that also happened to be friends of mine from Eastern Cape. And we're called Culture Clan.
It sounds like an incredibly eclectic mix of talent and culture.
It was... so amazing. When I think of that project, I'm like, wow. Wow. I mean, for me to get a break like that where I can start my career off in Germany, you know, and then coming home. But I mean, it haunted me the fact that nobody knew who I was at home, you know. So I spent more time in Germany performing there. So all these things, like one big movie that when I think of it now, I'm like, wow, what are the chances? You know, I always say, why can't we? Are we from the wrong part of the world that such amazing stories as someone who's spotted in a mall by Steven Spielberg, for instance, for a movie, why can't those things happen to us? And then I'm like, are you crazy? Such, you know, something similar to that did happen to you. What are you complaining about? You know, so I console myself by saying that. And well, after that, I decided, no, I wanted to come home. The decision to come back to South Africa in 2004 permanently was because of my mother and the fact that nobody knew who I was at home.
I think that is a fantastic story of your rise and going through the various elements of your journey
yes.
to success, and then almost doing a full circle, landing back home.
Back home, I had to. I mean, and then it's funny, when I got signed to Kalawa Jazmi in 2005, and then I released my album 2006, my first single was called Ekaya, meaning home, saying there's no place like home. So I was so happy to be back home that I had to have a song like that, you know, that talks about being back home. Luckily for me, Kalawa Jazmi offered me a chance to work with a group called Bongo Muffin. I stood in for the lead singer of Bongo Muffin. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, these people know the members of Bongo Muffin, and they'll see that I am not one of the members. I will be stoned. And so with every show, I would be so afraid talking to the band like, oh, guys, please, can you go on stage first and say to the crowd, listen, I'm sorry, the original member is not here, but we have a lady who is replacing her for now. You know what I mean? I wanted that come, but it never happened. The guys would just get on stage and have fun and forget about me. And then I would always come in when it's my turn to sing. And I remember thinking, goodness, I'm going to be booed. I'm so scared. You know, what's going to happen? People are going to hate me. You know, they're going to think I'm trying to be someone that I'm not. But it never happened like that. You know, I'd get off stage and people would say, when is your album coming out?
You had receptivity for quality music.
Yes.
Now, given all of your personal experiences and the journey that we've spoken about so far, what would be your advice to girls who want to follow in your footsteps and pursue a musical career? Do you think there's a right age for it?
I think there is a right age for it. I had matriculated and...
it's about 17?
17, yes. I had matriculated and, of course, I knew that I had to get that matric certificate first. And then I had every intention to finish school. That, I don't want kids or young girls to be confused about that. Okay, no, I never wanted to go. I had every intention of going to school and finishing school. But life happens, you know. I found something that I really, really loved. And things fell into place, thank God, for me in time. And I didn't feel like I had made a wrong decision. Or even when I felt like, okay, I wasn't too sure about what I was doing, but I kept pushing forward. So failure was not an option for me because I had forfeited my education. So you need to make sure that if you're going to... God forbid, if you're going to stop going to school, make sure you've got all the right tools in place for you to make sure that you succeed in your career of choice. And you've got people, I mean, I had strong parents who supported me, who took me by the hand.
Sounds as though your dad was an absolute icon and beacon in your life.
He was. When I say he's the best thing to ever happen to me, people think I'm just joking. Oh, she's funny. And I mean that. I mean that. I don't know how I got to have a father like that, seriously, and a mother like that. And so you need to make sure that you've got people who hold you by the hand and say, no, 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 no. You're not going to do this with this child. If this contract doesn't say this, we're walking out of here. So that people can see that you do have that backing. Because what causes a lot of women to fall into these traps in the music industry, and they're still there, is the fact that people can see that you don't have anybody
Take advantage of your ignorance.
Exactly. So if you know you're not strong enough, please involve your parents who will be able to see, because it's like they're on the outside looking in at the same time. They'll see when you're making a mistake because you are so excited about getting the deal. And another thing that I want to say, doctor, is that don't get into the music industry because you want to be famous. I did music because if I don't do music, then the air that I breathe, it's like...
It's your passion. It's your calling.
It's like the air that I breathe. It's like my lungs without air. The only time I go out is when I'm on stage, when I'm being honored at an award show, or when I'm doing an interview with you, doctor, or when I'm on my show on television. That's the only time. And you have to have the kind of upbringing where your parents have always told you that you're special. Because sometimes people feel the need to be told outside that they're special. Hence, they will chase lights. There's nothing wrong with wanting to see your name in lights, but there's all the things that come with it because maybe you didn't have a very strong upbringing. And a strong upbringing does not mean rich. I also want to underline that. We were not rich at home at all.
It's about the values.
Exactly.
And having validation for yourself within your family, aspiring to get your own personal self-confidence.
Exactly. So if you get into the music industry as a young woman and you think, no, I just want to be famous or I just want to be a personality, then you're joining the music industry for all the wrong reasons, because when all of that is gone, then what's left of you? Nothing.
You need that foundation
exactly.
to come back to. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, my name is Yvonne Chaka Chaka, an ambassador for the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program against racism, socio-economic class division, and gender-based violence. Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Malka every week on this day at this time.
You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band. Today we're talking to Zonke Dikana, singer and musician. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. Now continuing with our discussion, I'd like to ask you a question that I pose to all our guests. Every August, we celebrate Women's Month in South Africa and the years that women struggled, reflecting on the progress that women have achieved. In your opinion, what areas do you think we still need to build on the most to benefit women in the future?
Wow. I think in government, because that's where the decisions are made. That's where the laws are passed. That's where everything starts or doesn't start. In my humble view. So I think in government, this brings us back to the question of whether women are ready to lead or not. So definitely, I feel strongly about that women should take charge in government, because we're already in charge of everything. We give birth to presidents. It's us. So I don't see how it cannot be done. So I would start up there in government. That's where women need to start showing their phenomenal skills in leadership.
Well, from a South African point of view, we do exceptionally well when we look at sort of the Inter-Parliamentary Union as a system which quantifies the number of women in parliaments across mm-hmm. the world. And just after our last election, we're now ranked in 10th position, which is fairly significant. And interestingly, a lot of the countries in the continent are ranked really high in mm-hmm. comparison to the likes of the USA yeah. or the UK mm-hmm. in the 70th and 80th level in the world.
Mm.
So I think from a capacity building platform in government, we're actually doing quite well. We just need to cascade it into the rest of society.
Exactly. Are we doing well enough, though?
I think that's always a question. Until we get yes. to 50-50, in my opinion, the answer is
yes.
no.
You and I share the same sentiment.
We've spoken about your career going from the beginning up to where you are now.
Mm-hmm.
Can you please share with us some of the milestones that you want to accomplish in your career and what we can expect from you in the near future?
Wow. You know, I've always been the kind of artist who feels like, oh, I would love to do this, I would love to do that. And then I go back and say, how dare you? You haven't even mastered your own craft. So I'm my biggest critic. I wanted to start my own business, which was also within music, opening up my own record label, which is Lily Music, where I can record myself, where I can manage myself. And then I thought, okay, what if I find an artist that I can groom and just advise and record and put out there, and, you know, and just to...
To provide mentorship?
Yes, mentorship, to provide mentorship. But it proved to be a challenge because a lot of people still don't have internet, because they were supposed to upload videos of themselves singing on YouTube, and then we choose from there.
Well, access in South Africa, I think, yes. at the moment is only at 20% of the population.
Exactly. So that was the problem. And then as I was sitting thinking, okay, I need to have an artist. I need to give back. This would be my way of giving back. And then a call comes in that there's a show that will be on SABC 1, The X Factor. And I've always been a fan of the show.
And
I loved the mentorship.
That's syndicated from
part.
The USA,
yes,
the UK.
Exactly. And the reason why I said yes to doing The X Factor was the mentorship part, because that's what I had been trying to do. I loved the mentorship part of it. And I said, yes, this is my chance to, okay, if we find someone, then this is your way of giving back. You can tell them everything you know. You can share how you got to this point. You know, you can just be open. And I said yes, and it's one of the best decisions of my life. You know, sometimes I think I'm a little too involved because I want to cry half the time. And I was like, what am I doing here? Why did I choose to do this? I love my work there. I really, really do.
It's an outstanding platform to give back and to nurture young talent.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think the African music story should end with Miriam, you know, or with myself. Or, you know, we need more...
Building a pipeline of talent.
Exactly. Miriam was Miriam, dear Miriam. When people say South Africa, I say, oh, Miriam Makeba, you know, next to Nelson Mandela, of course. But when it comes to music, Miriam is the name. So we want to create that again where, you know, if you're not going to say, oh, Zonke Tikana, South Africa, then let me create somebody that the world will call their name when, you know, when they say South African music. But the next step would be, who doesn't want world domination? I think musically, we want our music to cross borders. You know, we want our music to make people cry or laugh or dance in other parts of the world. You know, but of course, I want to take it to the rest of Africa first. I think Africa is united when it comes to music. There's no borders.
It's a great thing to hear. From that perspective,
yes,
we are being recognized and received by our own.
Yes. No, I mean, I love what's happening musically in Africa. The borders have come down. The walls have come down. We're collaborating. You can hear Mafiki Zolo in Nigeria. You can hear Zonke in Ghana, you know, or Kenya. You know, we go and perform
you know, in these countries, when I go out there to perform, I start to feel grateful again that, wow, you need to show some gratitude, Sissy. You know, you've done quite well. So I need to remember that, because as much as I want to work hard, I need to be able to say thank you, Father. I have this tendency of saying, okay, I have this, but I want that, you know, and then you forget to be grateful for all the small miracles that happen every day. So that's another thing that I'm trying to work towards, to be grateful for the small things.
I think it's
things.
Important to be looking ahead, because that is the wheel, that is the future that we're striding for.
Without forgetting to be grateful, though, for the smaller
Absolutely.
Things. Yeah.
It's been such a pleasure talking to you, but we
Thank
are
you so much.
Running out of time. Lastly, can you please share a few words of inspiration that you'd like to pass on to young girls in Africa that are listening to the show?
Wow. A few words of inspiration. I mean, I'm a mom. I'm a daughter. I'm a sister. I'm an aunt. And I'm a woman, most importantly. And I'm working towards knowing that I matter. And my being a woman does not hinder my progress in life. It's not a curse, because the reason I'm saying that is because I come from that, where we were seen as four girls in my family that, oh my goodness, women children, what are we going to do with them? And I think that didn't just happen in my own family. It still happens in the rest of the world. You are a blessing. We are a blessing. We have got beautiful wombs that give birth to presidents. I'm going to say this again. We give birth to greatness. Greatness comes from us. So I wanna encourage young women to not give up, to not to value themselves, to know themselves, and to know that they deserve nothing but the very best in life, and that they are worthy of each and every beautiful thing or blessing that they are blessed with in life.
Thank you.
Thank
it's been
you.
An absolute pleasure having
Thank
you
so
on
much.
Our show today.
Thank you.
Today we've been talking to Zonke Dikana, singer, musician, and multi-award winning talented muso who now produces and has her own record company.
You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance. Tune into the program next week when we talk to Wiphold founders Louisa Morgella and Gloria Sorobe.
Today we play out with Feelings by Zonke Dikana.
And what you gonna do for me today? Always about ya. And what you gonna give to me today? Cause you're not feeling good. All about ya. And what you gonna give to me today? Cause you had a bad day. Well, so did I.
So did I.
So did I, baby. Well, so did I.
So did I.
So did I, baby. Tonight we're gonna talk about feelings. Tonight, we're gonna talk about all the things that I've always wanted tonight. You're gonna be making up for all the times when I needed you and you were not there. You were not there, yeah.
we're going.